Psalm 25, verse 16. Father, we ask you to bless our time here this morning. Help us understand the word of God here today, God, and your goodness. We look to you to be encouraged and taught during this time. In Christ's name, amen. Psalm here says, that's Proverbs 25. I don't want to read that. That wouldn't be good if I read that. You can read that later. It says, turn yourself to me and have mercy on me, for I am desolate and afflicted. This is David. Sounds just like him. Turn yourself to me, God. What a great prayer that is. Turn yourself to me and have mercy on me. For I am desolate and afflicted. The word for desolate here is translated in two other major versions as lonely. For I am lonely and afflicted. The word actually means isolated, solitary, desolate. I am desolate, and as a result of being desolate, I'm afflicted. And we've been discussing the last two or three messages, the topic of loneliness. And I just, by way of review, I want to review this tonight, or this morning, just a few aspects from Wednesday night, and then I'm going to get into some other things, some solutions to this. Psalm 68, verse 6 says that God sets the solitary and families. God sets the lonely and families. I know this week there are going to be many, many people who feel incredibly lonely. Holiday times come, and this is something that's talked about every year. People begin to feel this strange and powerful and profound sense of loneliness. Many people feel this loneliness because they've lost a loved one during the year. And this may be the first time, a holiday, you'll be without that loved one. Maybe you're watching this today on YouTube or Zoom. Maybe that's your situation. You feel lonely. When we talked about what loneliness really is, it's a gap. There's a gap between our desire for connectivity, a desire for social connections, and what's happening in our experience. And of course, when you lose a loved one, that connection is broken. But there are also people who are lonely, even though they're surrounded by people. And it's because they're surrounded by people that they don't have a real bona fide connection with, a real genuine, authentic connection with. And though many of us long for genuine, authentic, real, intimate connections with people, there are things that block that from happening. There are things in people's heart that keep us from connecting. We talked a little bit about this Wednesday night. I'll review some of these. Number one, many of us have fallen prey to substitutes for authentic intimacy. Frankly, I think social media has become a substitute for true friendship, substitute for real communication. Nothing wrong with social media for quick communication. Say you want to throw up a recipe, great, put it on Facebook, have fun. But please don't confuse the 1,623 friends you have on Facebook with those that love you and you have friendship with. There's a big difference. Some people have substituted superficiality, and they just can't get intimate with people, and there's a reason for that. There's blockages to that. One of them can be addictions to pornography. Sometimes that prevents people from being truly intimate and connected to one another. And believe it or not, that problem affects many other relationships, not just the one with a spouse or a significant person in your life who you shouldn't be with unless you're your spouse, but also friendships and family, because you have become very distracted, and that's become a substitute for you. And unfortunately, there is no real satisfaction from that whatsoever. Those types of things. Another thing that keeps us from intimacy are conflicts that we refuse to address, or that we won't address, or that we feel we can't address with people. If I have a conflict with Bonnie here and I can't resolve it, won't resolve it, I'm too proud to resolve it, I'm going to blame her, she's going to blame me, we're going to keep that up. That's going to be an obvious obstacle to me having intimacy or real connectivity with Bonnie. But you know what else it's going to do? It's going to affect my relationships with other people in the congregation as well, in the body of Christ as well. Because as we talked about this Wednesday night, we are the body of Christ. And what happens in one place happens throughout the body. And I've watched conflict become infectious many times. I've seen it happen over and over again. That's why conflict that goes unresolved for long periods of time is scary to me. Because I know when a conflict festers without being addressed and without being resolved, it'll get worse. It doesn't. Listen to me. Listen to me. Look, it doesn't go away. Personal wounds. Here's number three. Personal wounds. Unhealed wounds. Many people have wounds. Some of them are childhood wounds. Some of them are, believe it or not, church wounds. How many of you have ever gotten a church wound? Be honest. Put your hand up. I've had a little church wound. You know what a church wound is? You lay your life down, you're part of a congregation, you make yourself vulnerable and available, and then something happens where you get a church wound. Now, it's not always somebody else's fault. Some church wounds are self-inflicted. But nonetheless, there can be what you could call a church wound. Guilt or shame, another thing that keeps people from connecting. Well, if you really knew who I was, you wouldn't really want to be my friend. That'll keep you from connecting to people. Selfishness, another thing that blocks people from having good connections. Looking out for number one, looking out for yourself, taking care of yourself only. Why do I have so many people in my life and I still feel lonely? Someone might say that. And they feel a lack of companionship. They feel left out. Sometimes this is true with the young people today. Feel left out. How about this? Out of tune with the people around you. Have you ever felt that way? A little bit out of tune with the people around you? No one to turn to. Nobody has my back. No connectivity. That's really the issue. You're not connecting with people. And God has an amazing solution for this. You know, in Genesis chapter 126, God makes this profound statement about fellowship. And here's what he says. You ready? Let us make man in our image. There has never been, in all eternity, a moment where God has been lonely. There's never been a moment when God has been disconnected. Think about that for a minute. Let us make man in our image. He has always had intimacy. God knows what intimacy is, and he's known it for eternity. His love for the Son, the intimate love that the Son had with the Father, the amazing understanding that the Holy Spirit represents in the Trinity itself. The fact that one would send another and the other would send the other with total submission. No doubt, no second guessing. Jesus never said, I'm not sure I'm going, when God sent his only begotten Son. And the Holy Spirit said, oh, it's so much better for me if I go away. That way I will send the Holy Spirit to you. See, they had this amazing submission and an amazing interaction and perfect fellowship and perfect intimacy, and we are made in that, say it, image. Say it again. We are made in that what? Image. We are made to be connected. We are made to have intimacy. And we are made to have intimacy through all those things, through understanding and fellowship and communication and submission to one another. And Paul talks about those many, many different times in many, many different ways. But how do people in the body of Christ really connect? How do they get connected and stay connected? Well, one of the most important verses that I'm going to read you, if you only remember one verse that we talked about today, it needs to be 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, and it says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Koinonia. Koinonia is God's answer for loneliness. Now, in this verse, koinonia is a result of something. Koinonia, fellowship, is the fruit of something. In other places, it's a cause. Fellowship is both a cause and an effect. It's a very unique thing. But here in 1 John 1:7, fellowship is the result of walking in the light. So if I'm walking in the light, meaning I am best I can, I am letting God lead me. I am walking with God. Now that may be God is correcting me right now. I'm still walking with him. I may have fallen flat on my face today, but I'm still walking with him. If I walk in the light, what's the light? The Word of God. It's God's power and presence exposing what needs to be exposed. It's light. It's light. If I walk in his light, and he's illuminating my path, he's guiding my way, right? The entrance of God's Word gives light. That's what the Word of God says. The Word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. One step at a time, I'm letting God guide me. That's what walking in the light means. And if Jason is walking in the light and Annika is walking in the light, they will have fellowship with one another. See? But if she's not walking in the light, shame on you, Annika. If she's not walking in the light, but Maria is walking in the light, they're not going to have a connection. There'll be a connectivity problem. And you know what? If Maria loves Annika, and even if Maria's walking in the light and she loves Annika, she still is going to feel disconnected with Annika because Annika is not walking in the light. Come on, Annika, get with it. No. And if Annika's not walking in the light, she's going to be around all these believers. She's going to feel out of tune with them. She's going to feel out of place with them. You don't need a new look to fit in. You don't need a new hairstyle to fit in. You don't need a new job to fit in, new money to fit in, or new this to fit in. You need to walk in the light. Hello? Somebody say amen this morning. Amen. See, it's walking in the light. And that is a powerful, powerful thing. When two people are walking in the light, you know what? They may not even like each other. They'll have fellowship. They may not even have the same personalities at all. They may have totally different likes and dislikes. They may even be, I know this is going to sound crazy, one may be a Red Sox fan, one may be a Yankee fan, they could still fellowship. Well, if the Yankee fan happens to be walking in the light. Or the Boston fan. But see, it goes way past, listen to this next phrase. It takes me beyond personality rapport. Because if all I'm looking for is personality rapport with people, that's not fellowship. Personality rapport is not fellowship. Somebody once said to me, I'm going to try to find someone to marry, and I want them to have, like all the same things I like. I said, you're going to get lucky to maybe get your top three. Well, I want someone who's going to like this and like this and like that and like this. Now, is it good that you like some of the same things? Sure. Nothing wrong with that. But if personality rapport becomes a substitute for fellowship, you're going to feel what? Lonely. Married to somebody 10, 15, 20 years, see him every day, kiss him, eat together, do other stuff, still feel lonely. Why? Personality rapport replaced real fellowship. Some of the strongest marriages that you'll ever see are people who have a husband's a little bit different than the wife. You know? What are you laughing at? I mean, you might look at McCarran and I and say, I have no idea how that works. Fellowship. We have fellowship with one another. We are very different. Maybe you've noticed. I got this fruitcake. It'll come flying at you. I told you earlier, I said, I might throw my fruitcake at you. You'll just eat it. I throw it to you. I mean, hey, another example right here. Men's own suit. Men's own suit's a perfect match. Fellowship. Josh and Kathy. It's fellowship. How do you explain this? Fellowship. Do I even need to say the Bennett's out loud? How does that work? Fellowship. See? Kids, look at me. Your spouse and you eventually need to have the first thing be fellowship. Walk in the light. This is why doing certain things before you're married is a big no-no, because you're going to base your relationship on the wrong thing and you won't have fellowship. Kabish? You understand what I'm talking about? Hello? Yeah. Walk in the light, and the other person walks in the light, and you have what? Fellowship. Then you have connection, intimacy, communication. And the words for koinonia used in the Bible are translated several ways. Communication is one of them. Distribution is another one of them. I like that one, distribution. What are we distributing? We're distributing our love. We're distributing our mercy for one another. We're distributing grace. We're distributing cash in some instances. We're distributing food. We're distributors when we're in fellowship. We're givers. We're generous with one another. See? Communication. Communion is another one, word that is translated koinonia. But koinonia has causes and effect. In Philippians 2, it causes joy. Philippians 2, 1 to 2, causes joy. Read Romans 12, 10. Look at this. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. This fellowship brings this out. When we fellowship, here's what's happening. We are kindly affectionate. What does kindly affectionate look like? What are kindly affectionate words? What do they sound like? What does kindly affectionate sound like? What does kindly affectionate look like when someone is hurting? What does a kindly and affectionate person do in a case like that? Kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. Look at this next part. In honor. Honor? You're going to honor one another. I love when people are honored. I think it's a great thing. Veterans Day, to me, is always a great day because I watch people honored. I met a guy, I'll tell you a quick story here. Met a guy at the American Legion this Veterans Day. His name is Ray. He was a Vietnam veteran, Marine. And we were talking a little bit. I said, so where did you serve? He said, Wisconsin. I said, Wisconsin, wow. I said, did you go overseas? Nope. But he's a Vietnam vet era, and they've just started to recognize the Vietnam vet era veterans. And I'm talking to this guy, and I'm thinking, you know, and my first inclination is, okay, he's a stateside vet. I was a stateside vet. I know what that's all about. You got to have somebody hold on the fort. Somebody's got to ship the paper overseas. Someone's got to make sure the gunpowder gets there dry. I mean, there's all kinds of things that happen, right? And then I thought to myself, I'm looking at this guy, I'm thinking he served all that time and had the stigma of being a Vietnam vet. And here's what he said. He said, when I got back to the States, I got a job right away. It's a good job. He said, I love working where I was working. And I was there a year and a half, and an owner called me in and said, are you a veteran? And I said, yeah. Are you a Vietnam? Were you part of the Vietnam conflict? Yes, I was. Pack your crap and get out of my building. And I'm sitting there with a group of these guys, and one after the other, these Vietnam vets told me they lost their job, their family shunned them. One of them was married. When he went overseas to Vietnam, the father-in-law wouldn't talk to him for 10 years. See, these guys, they paid this price. And now, finally, the U.S. government decides they're going to recognize and honor these people. See, recognize and honor. What does honor mean? It means I value them. So we're kindly affectionate with brotherly love, and we honor one another. Somebody you're honoring, you don't scold. Somebody you're honoring, you don't insult. Somebody you're honoring, you don't forsake. Somebody you're honoring, you don't avoid. Giving preference to one another. You know what that means? I mean, I'm going to prefer them over me. You know, when they ask me to meet, I'm going to prefer their schedule over mine. When they ask me what we want to eat, I'm going to let them decide what they want to eat, and then I'll go. See, I'm going to let them have their preference. I don't care who you are in the body of Christ, pastor, elder, we are to give preference to one another. What's your preference? I mean, if Christ would leave glory and bore what he bore and do what he did at the hands of those that happened, then I can prefer people in the body and honor them and let them have preference. Everybody here needs to grow in this. We all do. Every single one of us needs to grow in this area. Another translation says devoted to one another. Honoring means being devoted to one another. Here's Romans 15:7. Therefore, receive one another. These are all the one another's, by the way. Receive one another. Yeah, he's a little weird. Well, you got to receive him. Yeah, she's a little funky. Got to receive her. She dresses weird. Receive her. She's a believer. Receive her. If they're a believer, receive her. If they believe, receive. Understand? Receive one another. Receive one another. Receive. Imagine Paul comes on the scene killing Christians, shows up at the church. They had to do what? They had to receive him. Okay. Come on in. Now, doesn't mean we have to, if he kept killing people, we would have a problem, wouldn't we? Then he'd be asked to leave. And Paul said, do that. Somebody comes into church, they start causing problems. You're out. We receive you as a brother, but you're leaving the fellowship. Toodaloo. Bye. Don't start division. Don't do that. Because Jesus told us to, we have to address that as well. Paul said to address that as well, right? We're going to address things. I love them. Menzel was talking about this morning. We're going to get up in each other's lives a little bit. You know? We're going to receive one another. Here's Galatians 5:13. Serve one another. Serve. one another. Serve. I remember I was at the church one day, and I was with my buddy Nick. And it was maybe it was a Friday afternoon. Him and I were both off that day. We got to the church, and there were four cars in the parking lot. Pastor Morin's car, Wes Simmons' car, I think Jim Chamberlain's car was there, and maybe the other car was Ted Clark's. Somebody's, one of the other guys were there. So Nick said to me, he said, why don't we serve these guys and take their cars and get them washed? I said, all right, let's do it. So we went in there and we snuck into Wes's office and we grabbed his keys off his desk while he was in the classroom. Took his car, washed it, brought it back. Took Jim Chamberlain's car, washed it, brought it back. Vacuumed it out, washed it, brought it back. Then we took Pastor Morin's car. That was an Explorer or something like that. And we took that and we washed it. And we're vacuuming it out, and the vacuum's like not picking anything up. It's like, and I it was just really weak, and I said to Nick, I said, this vacuum has no authority at all. And Nick says, he says, if you've been sucking garbage up all day long, you wouldn't have any authority either. I just thought that was the funniest line. But we were honoring guys, and you know what? Then we put the keys back, and then we left. And we never told anybody. Well, Millie Chamberlain snitched on us because she saw us steal all the cars. But you know, it's funny. It was so much fun to do that. Just honor people. Just honor them, you know. And to serve. And they're close together, serving and honoring. It's very close. They're closely related. Ephesians 4:23 says, have compassion on one another. Have compassion on one another. Somebody's hurt. Have compassion. Somebody's broke. Have compassion. Somebody falls flat on their face and blows it in front of people. Have compassion. Have some compassion. Hello? Make sense? This is what we're supposed to do with each other. Have compassion. Here's Colossians 3:16. Turn there. I'd like you to learn where some of these verses are, by the way. Maybe you want to write them down and make a 3x5 card and put these around the house. And for the next 3 months, look at them every day and think of someone in the congregation that you could accept or serve or love or show compassion to. Wouldn't that be interesting? Hello? Yeah. Try that, would you? All right. Then, Colossians 3:16. Great verse. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing, who? One another. Teaching and admonishing one another. This is written to the church, Colossians. This isn't written to Timothy or Titus. This is the church. You should be teaching one another stuff. Chris, you should be reading stuff and then teaching Larry stuff. Larry, you should read stuff and teach him some stuff. Josh, get on the phone. Call Andy. Teach him something. Andy, pick up the phone. Call Jason Martin and teach him something. We should be teaching each other stuff. And then when we're in classrooms, we're teaching. Sue is teaching. Menz is teaching. Raquel is teaching. These people, there's something about that family that likes to teach. You know what it is? I bet they like that verse. Harry Bennett, teach. Joe DiMaggio, Debbie, teach. B, teaches. Karen and Cindy Cece, the little ones, are teaching. Right? Katie Martin, teach. Who am I missing? Casey, teach. Go teach. Teach. But then don't forget the next word, admonish, metanoia. Right? You know what that means? Put into the mind of somebody else something. Hey, let me put this in your mind. Let me put soul winning in your mind. He that winneth souls is wise. That's the King James Version. I like that version of that. He who wins souls is wise. That's why we have these gospel books out there, and we have the What Now book out there. Now, I want you to win souls. He who wins, I want to put that in your mind. Metanoia. Larry, start winning more souls. Joe DiMaggio, start winning more souls. Debbie Farnsworth, souls, win some souls. Let me put this in your brain. Let me plant this little seed in your brain. You know what counseling is? Counseling is metanoia. Counseling is you come in, I got a problem. Yeah, we all do. Here it is. Well, maybe the problem you're saying is not really the problem. How about this? Let me put this in your mind. Think about this. Really, admonishing just means think about this and then fill in the blank. First Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, comfort each other. Comfort each other. I'm not very good at that. We'll get it from God then. I'm not the comforting type. You know? Get it from God. I don't like all that warm and fuzzy stuff. Too bad. You're going to have to be warm and fuzzy once in a while. Jesus was warm and fuzzy once in a while. Not all the time. You don't have to turn into, you know, you have to turn into Big Bird or anything like that. I couldn't think of another illustration. Yeah. You don't have to turn into that, but at the same time, you need to comfort one another. What are you going to? Well, I'll do all the other one another's except comfort one another. I'll teach one another. I'll serve one another. I'll even honor one another, but don't ask me to comfort one another. Well, you have to do all the one another's or you lose. You don't get the gold star at the end. All the one another's matter. Here's one, edify. The next one's edify. The word edify means build up. Build up. Don't tear down. Don't walk up to somebody and tear them down. Walk up to somebody, build them up. When you're building something up, you bring the building materials with you and you put it together, right? So you walk up to somebody and you say, hey, I noticed this. You're incredible. You're really doing a great job with this. And you'd say that. And then maybe there's something they're not doing so well, you want to help them. We say, hey, let me help you with that. Here's the building materials. Here's a couple of Bible verses for that. What can I do to help you? How can I support you? Do you need me to pray for you? Edify one another. Edify. It's like that little bumper sticker we were going to make years ago. Edify, stupid. We want you to edify one another. Don't tear one another down. All right? Here's one. 1 Peter 4:9. Be hospitable to one another. What are we trying to do here? We're trying to fix the loneliness problem. We're trying to fix loneliness. Here's how you're going to connect. By honoring, you connect. By serving, you connect. By edifying, you connect. By comforting one another, you connect. Here's how you connect. Loneliness is a lack of connectivity, isn't it? Loneliness, I feel disconnected. Well, here's the solution. Connect. The Bible says he who wants to have friends needs to show himself friendly. And I know right where that verse is. I think it's Proverbs 18:24. Somebody look that up and make sure it's the right verse. But he who must have friends, show himself to be friendly. Where's that? Is it the same verse? You got it? Proverbs 18:24. Read the whole verse, Casey.
A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother.
Well, it's both. So here it is. You want to have friends? Show yourself friendly. You want to have friends? Edify somebody. Comfort one another. Be compassionate one another. Serve one another. Be honoring. Honor one another. See? Well, I'm just not comfortable around people. Well, that's a problem, isn't it? There's a wound there somewhere. There's some pride there somewhere. I told you what the obstacles were, right? Are you substituting something for authentic intimacy? You have unresolved conflicts you won't resolve? Personal wounds, guilt or shame, selfishness? What is it? Why don't we identify the sin that's preventing you from serving one another, preventing you from honoring one another? What's the blockage that you can identify, because it's likely something you have more control over than you think you do? Be hospitable to one another. Oh, I don't like having people in my house. I've heard that before. Some of you love having people in your house. Some of you have a gift of having people in your house, right? We were talking about this. How many remember years ago when the Spencers had the Bible study at their house? How many were part of that? Do you remember how much fun that was? You have a gift of hospitality. And then you went and bought this small little house. I don't know what you were even thinking. But this is why she helps with all the dinners. There's a gift of hospitality. See? So be hospitable to one another. That's exciting when people are hospitable. You know? Your wife is hospitable. I indirectly edified you by kind of saying, Larry, nice choice, you married her. Here's one, 1 Peter 1:22. Love one another. Love one another. Love one another. Don't avoid one another. Here's another one, Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider one another in order to stir up each other in good works. Consider one another. You know what that means? Let me think about how I can plug into Harry's life. Let me think about how I can get involved with something Tucker's doing. Consider one another. Let me consider John Stout for a minute. How do we think about John? Let's all think. Look over at John for a minute. Let's consider John Stout for a minute. So how can I serve John Stout? That's what consider one another means. What can I do to express the love of God to John Stout? Consider one another. We're all so busy, guys. Let's be honest. We're all so busy, we don't have time to think of each other. Isn't that pathetic? Isn't that absolutely ridiculous? We are so busy in our lives, we don't have time to think of anybody. So, you know, consider one another. And then provoke one another to good works. You know? Provoke each other to good works. This makes sense this morning? You don't want to be lonely. I feel lonely. You're not connecting. Connect. How do I connect? Right here. Walk in the light as God is in the light, and you'll have fellowship with one another. And what's the fellowship look like? Serving, loving, honoring, caring, compassionate, stirring each other up, putting things in each other's minds, giving each other the love of Christ, sharing verses with each other, teaching one another, all these one another's. And by the way, Hebrews 10:25, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Gather with one another. Gather with one another. Don't forsake it. Well, I got this going on, that going on. Don't forsake it. You know, you got an occasional thing you got to do. That's fine. We're not legalistic about it. But at the same time, is it a high priority to you? Is gathering with the saints a high priority with you? Let me ask you this. Is serving one another a high priority? How about forgiving one another? That's another verse I didn't even get to. Forgiving one another, isn't that a high priority? Can't you forgive one another after all that God has forgiven you of? For heaven's sake, let's forgive one another. Let's forgive one another. Let's serve one another. Let's fellowship with one another. Let's clear the air with one another. How about go to one another alone when you have to? By the way, I want to just address our young people. You should always feel comfortable when there's a conflict to go to a person. I know it's hard because you're a little insecure. Some of you are. Some of you aren't insecure at all. Some of you, I wish you were more insecure. You'd be a little quieter. Not looking at anyone in particular over here. Marcus. But, you know, so somebody offends you or hurts you, right? Maybe you want to talk to mom or dad, but then go to that person. How about go to the person? Do you know what the Bible says? Go to the person. I don't just make this stuff up, you know. Walk right up to them. Say, hey, can I have a conversation? Can I talk to you for a minute? What do you think the person's going to say? No. No, can I talk to you for a second? Sure, what's up? You said something the other day that really, you're busting my chops. I was a little offended. Oh, you know what they're going to most likely say? Sorry, I didn't mean to do that. Let's get a coffee. I mean, honestly, I don't know. It doesn't. You don't have to go down memory lane about the whole thing. Well, I said this, then you said that, then I said that. But how about let's just love one another. Let's serve one another. Honor one another. You know, maybe the person who hurts your feelings, you need to honor them. Say, I'm not honoring them. They hurt my feelings. Oh. So let's take that verse right out of the Bible. Let's just write it out. You don't have to do that one. And then eventually you'll find another one you don't have to do. I don't have to serve one another. Oh, this one hurt my feelings. I'm not going to serve that one. Oh, this one over here said something. I'm not going to honor them. Oh, this one over here has done it a couple times. I'm not going to love this one. I'm going to withhold my fellowship from this one. No, you don't get to do that. You don't get to do any of that. You have to be, as Romans says, devoted to one another. That means I am sticking with you. Now, that verse a minute ago, he shows himself who wants friends to show himself friendly, and there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You know what? I'll tell you this right now. I will stick closer. I am like glue. You can't shake me. You know? I've been here longer than any of you. I am the longest attending member of this church. I am. Nobody else has been here as many times as me. Nanny goats, I win. No, not even Karen. I was here before Karen. I came. Karen wasn't at the first several Bible studies. Then she decided she'd go. And you know, I'm not going anywhere. I'm sticking closer than a brother. Because that's what fellowship does. That's what I'm called to do. And believe me, there's been times when some of you have wanted to chase me out. I know. I hear about it. It's in the rumor mill. No, I'm just kidding. Stick closer to the brother. Fellowship. And you know why? Because the world is such a lonely place. And I don't want to do anything to contribute to that at all. When we have the riches of Christ, the glory of God, the family of God, the promises of God, the gospel of God. So that's God's answer for loneliness. Does this help? How many think this may be helpful at some point? So implement this right away. This is one of those verses you've got to walk out in the parking lot instead of implementing it right away. Because the devil is going to attack. I'll tell you what, I know this for a fact. The devil wants to divide us and attack us right now. He'd like to hurt us physically. There are people with these weird accidents and dumb injuries, stupid stuff happening, elbows and arms and backs and wrists and things like that. He'd like to destroy us if he could. He'd like to divide you from your family. He'd like husbands and wives to be at each other's throats. He wants to divide friendships. Don't let him do it. Hello, look at me. Don't do it. Don't you let him do it. Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bonds of peace. That's what Paul said, right? Endeavor. That means work. Takes work. Takes work to fellowship with some of you. I'm just kidding. It takes work to fellowship with all of you. But you know what's worth it? There's a fruit to it. There's a fruit to it. That's a great fruit. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for this time this morning. We ask you, God, that you would use this message to bless some who need to be blessed by it, correct some who need to be corrected by it, encourage someone who needs to be encouraged by it. And for all of us, God, help us to implement this. Give us a way to consider one another, to provoke one another, to admonish one another, to love one another, serve one another, to edify one another, to comfort one another. And all those one another's, God, we pray that we would be experts at that. And that would be a priority in our life, because we want to be a place where nobody feels lonely here. We want to be a place where nobody senses a disconnect, that no one feels out of tune unless they themselves won't walk in the light. Then there's nothing you can really do about it. But I'll tell you what, it won't be. We don't want it to be because we weren't there for people. And I pray, Father, you'd help us to do this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.